You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
It's awkward, right? So, that was about 3 seconds. So here's what, I mean, it's, You can have time to take a breath, but what I like to do is buy myself time. So Mo, if you came to me, if I'm in a meeting with you, even if it's on Zoom, and you ask me a question that puts me into fight or flight for whatever reason, right? Bernard kicks into gear. I will say to you, that's an interesting question, Mo. Tell me more about that. What makes you ask that question? And I'm doing it for two reasons. Number one, in all truth, I'm buying myself some damn time because I need to take 3 breaths and I need to like get to that strategic place again, like you said. But the second thing I have also, the side effect of it that I didn't expect, but is actually even better that comes out of it, is I then understand why they're really asking the question. Because to our point about like the superficial chatter, oftentimes the question we get is not what they're really trying to get at, not because people are malicious, but because they too are working through like what they're trying to figure out. So I ask you that question, you're like, well, I'm asking you that because blah, 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 blah. Before I even answer, I now have, I have my time to breathe and I understand the full context of why you're asking me that question. And now I can answer from a strategic place and a more thoughtful place.
Well, and I think to add on to that, right, when we think about all of our innovation styles,
that
we absolutely have to build in space to make the most innovative and most inclusive decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think if folks are not doing this already, you're buying yourself time personally, but buy your team some time too.
Yeah, great point.
And it's a really good best practice to go ahead and take a 5-minute break.
Right.
Give everybody time to think and to, maybe it might be the courage to come up and say, I'm going to challenge that idea, or I've got this addition that you might have people based on their style that they just need time, right, to marinate in it for a bit to be able to be additive.
So this takes us down a little bit of a different track, but I like, I think it's important and I like kind of the idea behind it. So a couple things. One is, so I'm an mostly an extrovert. I actually have a very rich introvert side of me, but you know, like generally speaking, right? Like I think out loud. I'm the person that sucks the air out of a brainstorm because I will just be like, bah, 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 right? And, but there's other people in the room that don't operate like that and need time to process. And one of the things that as we dove into the neuroscience of how people innovate and the different styles, to your point, right? So all the everyday innovator styles, they're all unique, right? How we innovate is unique to each of us. We all do it differently. What that means then for us as leaders is we've got to create meetings that speak to the different styles. So we're including everybody. Ideas that come from diversity of thinking are much stronger than ideas that come from birds of a feather, right? We know that. So what, like, I'll give you a very small example in our world. One of the things, aside from creating exercises that speak to the different styles and allow all the different people to be included, we also often, when we work with clients, we break up our sessions so that, to your point, we come up, we generate, but then we have time before we start making decisions. Because I think the big mistake that we make oftentimes is we rush to decision before we've even had time to really think through. And sometimes that thinking is on a subconscious level, right? It's not
100%.
And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, but this happened to me just the other day. I was in a meeting. I didn't agree with something, but I couldn't put my finger on why. The team made the decision. And then it was 24 hours later that I was like, oh,
yeah,
I know why. And then I needed to go back and be like, I know we made the decision, but so we got to build that in.
And I think you and I should dig into this deeper on another podcast because there are all kinds of best practices around this. And I know that you have so much.
Yeah. And you
do too. Yeah, I want to loop us back to now with COVID-19.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the brick wall and the myelin because that's what we're trying to overcome right now. So we talked about the lizard brain, right? Like, nope, we're not going to stay safe in our little like curled up in a ball. We're going to do this and move forward. So the brick wall, and you've got some great tools around this too. You and I have had a lot of discussion about this. The problem with the brick wall is it creates this unconscious bias, right? We like things that we already like, know to be true, already yep. believe in, and we shut out new and different ideas. So we got to go around the brick wall. And I think one of my favorite exercises that you shared with me was playing devil's advocate, right? Mm-hmm. And just actually asking yourself to think of it from a different perspective, or ask someone who you know has a different perspective, because that forces you to open up those bricks and start to see the world a little bit differently. We cannot rely on what we know to be true from yesterday moving forward. We have got to let in innovative ideas and thinking. We've got to look at the world and go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder how I can apply that. Well, right now we're just blocking it out if we let that brick wall be in control.
If people aren't familiar with De Bono's thinking hats,
yes,
it's a great thing to do right now, right? Like, why is this, why could this idea be good? And black hatting is, you know, why is this not a good idea? Mm-hmm. Yellow hat, what's innovative, what's new? Like, and it's such a simple exercise, but to let things around that brick wall, asking yourself to think about it from different perspectives, from different, right? And then it's like, oh, there is something in there. There is a new, fresh
yeah.
take.
I'm going to give you one of my favorite exercises, and this works for the myelin too. So, you know, our whole kind of problem with being super efficient, which is great in some ways, but not so great in what we're dealing with right now and our need to adjust. So I call it word games. Do you remember Mad Libs?
Yeah, I love
it. Oh my gosh. I have so much fun.
Car
right?
trips, right?
Oh. Like, I still, to this day, when I take car trips with my kids, we get Mad Libs at the gas
Absolutely.
Station.
Absolutely.
I love them. But here's the beauty of it. Changing one word or a phrase in the question you're asking can help you start to get around over mm-hmm. under that brick wall, right? That RAS that we have. So for example, and this was one I shared with a group the other day. Let's say the question is, what do I do about the fact that my products or services are irrelevant in the coronavirus world, right? That's the feeling. I'm not selling, the phone's not ringing. Like, those of us in the speaking world are dealing with that, in the training world are dealing with it, tourism is dealing with this, right?
Restaurants, so, yeah.
So that question is not a bad question, but the reality is it takes us down one path, right?
Yes.
They're like, you brainstorm one way. Well, they're not relevant. Well, I got to come up with new stuff. Well, I got to think, like, right? So it keeps you down that myelin path of like, here's what I know. Here's what I know. But what if we change that word irrelevant to something else? So what do I do about the fact that my products are in high demand in the coronavirus world? Oh, well, if that's the case, I would deliver them in this way because that's how people are working right now. Or I might look at how to use them in this way because that's how people are working. Or, you know, what do I do about the fact that my products and services are new and different in the coronavirus world? Whatever it is, the point being that you adjust one word in your question that you're asking yourself, and those bricks in that RAS that we have start to open up and start to let in new thinking, because it's not using the same path we've always used. And on the myelin track, right, we start to open up and adjust and create new connections and new wires that we didn't have before. And if you keep asking different questions and different words, right, in that question, you'll end up with this kind of huge, like massively wide lens that you didn't have before. And I'm not saying, just to be clear about how the exercise work, it's not pick one that's the best one, like sought after in the coronavirus world. It's about actually brainstorming against all of them so that you have a plethora. Because the reality is too, by the way, I think the trap that we fall into is we're like, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, I have one idea. Oh, I'm going to go do that. But what we really need is 100 ideas so that we can pick the ones that are actually good. We don't want to settle for mediocre because mediocre is all we got.
Yeah. And thank you for using the word plethora, because it's one of my very favorite
plethora.
Words.
Plethora, it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. Plethora. I think one of the, I was going through that exercise in my head tomorrow, and I was thinking about, like, what about if I changed it from, maybe I have products, right? Mm. And I changed it to, what if my services are not?
I like
right?
it.
Or maybe I'm a, right? Or maybe I'm a service-based, my products, and it makes me think about what we're doing in a from a totally different lens.
So I love that. So it's not just the verb, you can see if my English is accurate, that you adjust, or adjective.
I don't know.
Adjective.
And I was a journalism undergrad, so that's
English is my second language. That's my excuse. Even though I've been speaking it since I was like five, so it doesn't really count, but whatever. So you can adjust anything in the yeah. phrase, like yep. to your point, what if it's not, how do I make my products more relevant? Maybe it's like, how do I make my services more relevant? How do I make my thought leadership more relevant? Like you can adjust any of it, but the goal there is take one question that you have, the one that you need to figure out, and then start playing with that question in all these different ways and brainstorming against all of it. That will help your lizard calm down too, because you're like, hey, buddy, I'm not going after the one thing. I'm just over here trying to figure it out. And your lizard brain's like, okay, we can handle that. And then the brick wall starts to open up a little bit more, and like the bricks start to fall out, and you start to see the new opportunities, ideas. And then the myelin, you start to build new tracks and new connections that help you. So the brain is funny, right? Like it wants to keep us safe and comfortable on one hand. On the other hand, it's working against us, because what we actually need to do to stay safe is to survive. And what we need to do to survive is to innovate.
Well, and I think the power of questions, right?
So what powerful. You're saying,
right? Like, what else could be true here? Right? What? Mm-hmm. So here's what we're thinking right now. What else could be true, right? To let that around the brick wall, and even like disrupt those myelin pathways, you know, and just curiosity. Like, if mm-hmm. we can come at this with curiosity versus fear, I think that, you know, both from shutting up the lizard.
Yeah.
Right? Right. But like those, so, you know, and you always, like, I love the way you play with words and questions to unlock that innovation.
Yeah. Thank you. I think questions are really powerful. And I think what's even more powerful about all of that is it opens up the pathways. Then you'll figure out the solution, right? We always talk about, you know, your answers are only good as your questions. You got to have the right question to get to the right answer. But the challenge I have with that is it still implies there's one end all be all question. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's true.
No.
I think it's about asking and looking for a plethora, to use your word, of options and opportunities out there to get to the right one. We have to widen our lens. And then we'll figure out how to stay relevant. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about, who was it that was doing something innovative? Now I've lost, because we went on so many different
The app
for restaurants, right. So Louis Vuitton just started turning their perfume factories into...
Hand sanitizer.
I was about to say Purell, but I'm like, that's not the actual word. That's a brand.
That's a brand. Right? Purell's like, yeah, girl, yeah.
You say that tomorrow. But right, my point being like, hey, how do we think differently? And I just want to tell one historical story, because I think it actually relates to today. So Greyhound buses came about because there were two brothers in a mining town. It was either North or South Dakota. I don't remember. I think probably North Dakota, but I could be wrong. And they had these cars that they sold that were 7-passenger cars. And every day they'd watch the miners walk the 4 miles to the mines and walk the 4 miles back past their dealership. And nobody would buy these cars. And they thought to themselves, well, this is ridiculous. Obviously, the customer's there, right? You've got all these people walking. The demand is there. Why aren't they buying? And that's when the two brothers on the edge of bankruptcy realized, what if we rented out spaces on our cars and drove them to and from the mines? Mm-hmm. And that's how Greyhound Bus came about. They were sitting there with a fleet of cars that they thought seemed like the right opportunity that nobody wanted. And all they did was switch from selling them to renting space. And that became the bus system that we know today. Now, there are other issues today, but they came about because they were in dire times, like we are now, and said, all right, we got to think differently about the assets that we have right in front of us.
So I think we've talked about some of these, but throw down like some truth, like three things that I can do to push myself out of hunker down mode, right? Or push my team out of hunker down survival mode and into this innovate to survive.
So I think there's a couple things. I'm going to actually start with communication and leadership, because I actually think that that's actually where it all starts. And from there, we can get to the innovation. So there's a couple things that are really important that I want to highlight. So in terms of how you communicate, I think it's really important as a leader that we communicate realism over optimism.
Mm-hmm.
So So you and I have kind of had these conversations about things similar to this before, but let me kind of just for all of us on the podcast explain what I mean, and hopefully you could probably chime in with some stories too. Here's the thing, especially when shit hits the fan like it is now, when we as leaders get up there and we're like, all right, Mo, look, this is all gonna be good. We're gonna get through this. It's all good. Don't you worry. We're gonna get back to normal, blah, blah, blah. What do you think the team does, right? I can guarantee you anyone listening to right now is having a visceral reaction to that because they know that's not true.
Yeah, no, and you're standing up there lying to them. This right. is not the time to blow sunshine.
Right. That means that you've got your head in the sand, right? So now I distrust you as a leader because I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm over here worried about paying my bills. Like, are you kidding me? So to come up, to stand up as a leader and be overly optimistic, not only I think minimizes your leadership and trust, but minimizes their ability to get work done and to innovate because you're not giving them the real picture. So when you stand up there and you say, hey, team, here's the deal. This is what we're facing. We've got to do cuts. Our products are not selling as much. We've got to figure out a new workflow now that we're all going remote, yet stay productive. We were caught out. But this is where I think it gets innovative. But we're a team and we're going to do this together and we're going to figure out the opportunity in this. I think when you come to them with that realism, that's like, here's the deal and here's how we're going to move forward together. Then people start to innovate. They have the courage to do it. They have the energy to do it versus rolling their eyes and going, my leader has no idea what they're talking about.
I would think it's going to go down and probably be written about in leadership books. Go and watch the Marriott company. Their CEO released a video. And by the way, he is in the middle of chemo for pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
Right. And he did. And it was just that, you know, he gets on and he talks about, this is harder than after 9/11. This is harder than any downturn that we've ever seen. And he's realistic. And he talks about, here are the things that are going to happen. Here's how we're thinking, looking at multiple ways to get through this, but he's honest and he's authentic. And
so important right now.
Yeah. And also he's not like, you know, we're screwed, right?
Right. Well, that's right. The other side of the spectrum, right? You don't want to be right. Is like, oh my God, run for the hills.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there is this,
and it's realism.
It's realism and frequency. So I think leaders right now, you can't think that I get to communicate this once.
Yeah.
Everybody's Bernards are showing up.
Oh, Bernards are fat and bloated and heavy and like eating on life right now.
Yeah. And so I think it's really important to communicate really often, right? Consistently and often and authentically and with the, let's figure out how we can leverage all our brain power, right? So, everybody pulling in the same direction to get through this.
So that leads me to the second thing that I wanted to highlight that I actually think is exactly what you're spotlighting that I think is so important. And that is what I would call innovation over workload. So here's what I mean by that. I think it is very easy right now to try to get people to like be hyper productive. And what I mean by that is be busy, right? Mm-hmm. Be on email, do your meetings, get on Zoom, like show that you're getting stuff done, like work harder, work harder, work harder. But we're in a riptide. So, and I have a whole story in my book about it. I actually was in a riptide when I was 12 and I was drowned. And it was amazing. I mean, amazing in a bad way, but it was a life lesson. But my point being that like when we're in a riptide, our natural inclination, like we are now, the world is in a riptide, is to hunker down, double down, right? So if you're swimming, you're going to swim harder, right? You're going to move your arms faster. You're going to kick your legs harder. But that actually pulls you further out to sea and down. It doesn't actually help you.
Right.
So if we're in a leadership mode, it is easy to think we'll all just double down, right? We'll do more of what we already know how to do. Well, I'll get my team to be hyper productive and hyper busy and keep them focused on work. But it doesn't actually work. And in fact, it has the opposite effect. And what I have been coaching people, leaders that I know, what I have seen to be true is it's the leaders who say, hey, this is a challenge. Now we're going to figure out how to get through this challenge stronger on the other side. So as a team, let's innovate. Here are the rocks, right? Like here is what we're dealing with. That's the realism we're talking about. Now, how do we turn this into an opportunity? How do we turn our obstacles into something that we can leverage? Because we all have to think like that, right? We have work to do and we have business to run. But here's the awesome part about that. When we do that with our teams, we give them the realism they need, but then we also give them something of purpose to focus on that is exciting and energetic and gets people motivated to move forward. And by the way, these are big challenges. So let's have our team solve them. What better time to focus our time there versus just being busy, busy, busy. And there's actually a side effect of all of that. So this goes back to the brain, but here's the cool part. when we innovate, so creative problem solve, strategic thinking, like solve that sticky problem, all of that, we actually tap the reward centers in our brain and release dopamine. So I'm over here like, oh my God, what do I do to dial up my team's ability to work online? Oh my God, I figured it out, right? I innovate and I innovate with my team. I'm actually releasing feel-good chemicals in my brain. So I'm now happier. I feel rewarded. I feel like I've contributed. So as a leader, if you're thinking about what to do about your team, busyness is not the way to go. Getting them to be innovative and to work together to be innovative is, because it creates engagement, it creates a sense of connectedness, and it actually makes us happier.
Yeah, which is right. Like, that's so powerful right now. Yeah. And I think, and messaging that to your group, like, we don't need busyness right now.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We need you thinking about things.
Yes. Right? Well, and to your point about communication, right? Like, and it's about consistently communicating that, like, over and over again. I don't need you to do more of the same. I need you to think differently. So to loop it back to the riptide, right? If you swim sideways out of a riptide, you get out, right? You don't double down. You actually go sideways. So that's innovation. And that's what we need more of right now.
Whew.
I know.
So much. Where do we go from that? Anything else around leadership?
Yeah,
I think the way people have been leading and what is needed right now are different.
Well, there's
to some extent.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think we really need to step up. I think I'm going to sound super cliche. I probably heard this in a movie some way, but I think that now is the time you either show that you're a true leader or you're actually a follower. You're one of the two. And that is true at all levels. I don't think that's just the VP title. I think that's true for a lot of people, right? Like, we show that we are proactive and we are leaders in our hearts, or we're not. So yeah. Now's the time to do that. There's a couple things I'd say. One is, you know, we hinted at empathy a couple times through this podcast. I think authority is important. Show that you're strong, show that you're taking action. You don't have to have all the answers, but show that you are there. But I think we need empathy more than we ever have.
Yes.
I don't know if you're finding this, but I'm finding that when I'm on a call with somebody, the first thing I need to do is say, and mean it, right? This is not about manipulation. This is about really meaning it. Like, hey, how's it going in your world? And I'll just tell you a quick story. I connected with someone on Facebook that I barely know. He's in the food business, but I'm trying to figure out how to get some healthy meals to these kids that I serve in this nonprofit that I'm on the board of. I barely know this guy, right? I think we have maybe interacted over Facebook once in our lives. We just happen to have some connections. Truly, barely know each other. But I wanted to pick his brain about this because he's in the food business. And I know that they're struggling, and I know that we have kids that need food. So I know he's got people that need money, and I've got people that need food, right? So I thought maybe we could make this a win-win. But all that is to say, I pick up the phone. I say, hi. He says, hello. I was like, hey, before we dig into this, how you doing? And we had the most authentic, real, these are two people who barely know each other and who have public personas that are supposed to be successful, right? And both of us were like, look, like, shit is real and I'm struggling and here's what I'm doing well and here's what I'm not. And that, I think having that allowed us to have a stronger conversation, a better conversation on the business we were trying to do.
Absolutely. So this links so strongly. I my hope is that we talked about humanity at the start of this and empathy. One of the things that is happening right now is this ability to see each other.
Yes.
So when we and so at the heart of inclusion, right? And when we talk about innovation and what inclusion does for innovation, what it does for productivity, all of those things, people are pausing and saying, how are you? Right? And really seeing each other.
Yeah.
I hope that continues post-pandemic, because as you said, the conversation that you had about business after that was better.
It was so much better. And I didn't ask him how he was doing because I was like, hey, if I make a connection, then...
Oh, yeah, like smarmy. Yeah. No, it was because very genuine.
I was like, oh my God, you're in the food business. How the fuck are you? Right?
Right. And so this actually, if you think about, even if you're doing that now with your teams, that is probably a new and innovative way that you are connecting with your team, with your customers. Keep doing that.
Yeah, keep doing it is the key there.
Right, so you've probably already innovated without realizing it.
Totally. Actually, that's true for listeners too, right? Like maybe doing in these little hotspots, we don't know it. You know what's interesting about what you said? I can't remember if you and I were talking about this on the phone the other day or not, but I walk my dog a lot more than ever. She is loving this quarantine.
Cause she's all like, the pets are.
Oh,
the
yeah,
pets,
she's like,
the pets
yes.
are winning. Winning.
She's so excited. But I've noticed, as we all keep our distance, that everybody says hello to each other now. And that is, yes. So I live in an urban neighborhood in Denver, right? That has not happened with people I don't know. Nobody says hello to each other. We all avoid eye contact. But oh my gosh, this last week, people go out of their way to wave at you from far yep. across the street. And I love it. I think it is so cool that people are, I think we finally have come to realize how we need each other
yes.
and how connected we really not only are, but want to be, right? Like we yep. want to be connected. And we were kind of, I think, ignored it until it was taken away. And now we're like, whoa, hey, wait, I like people. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is, I would never wish a pandemic on us.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Right. Like here's something great that is already, we're doing things differently, right? When you
yeah.
think about, right. So I think that from a leadership perspective, keep it up.
I'm going to add one layer to this that I just want to make sure not to forget about kind of before we close off about this kind of what else do we really need to think about? And that is the mental energy of your team. So I want us to think of energy as like the Wi-Fi bandwidth in our house. Right? It's limited. It's finite. And it's fine when only the TV's going, but when you've got the TV going, your kids are streaming in the other room, you're doing a Zoom call, right? Your husband or your significant other's on their iPad, everything starts to slow down. And I think that's what happened to a lot of you and I were having a conversation before we hit record about people that we know on our team who are not as detailed as they normally are, right? They're not kind of closing the lid on the tasks that they do. But that's because we're dealing with finite energy. And right now what's happening is, right, we've got the TV on stress mode. We've got the iPad on anxiety mode. We've got the computer on work mode and the other iPad on kid mode for those of us who are now homeschool teachers, right? So our energy is finite and it's scattered across our bandwidth right now. And everything's a little bit slower and a little less efficient and a little bit less thoughtful. And one of the things that I've come to realize is we got to figure out how to shut down some of those other channels so that we can focus in the places we need to focus. And I will tell you, and I gave this example on a webcast just the other day because I was talking about this, that our energy is actually finite and even if it's subconscious, pulled in a lot of different directions. So you, me, and our good friend Chris got on a web call just to say hi, right? It was like 8 in the morning or 7. It was 7 in the morning.
Yep.
And we just kind of downloaded how we're doing. Taking 10 minutes to download to you guys, oh my God, I'm happy about this. I'm super stressed about this. I'm staying awake because of that. Allowed me to shut down that channel later because I got it out of my head.
Yep.
And I said it to you and allowed me to focus later. So the other thing I'd say to leaders is just enter yourself, right? This is, I think, for all of us personally too. Recognize that we're dealing with finite bandwidth and that it's stretched thin for us right now. It's for everybody. So give us a way and yourself a way to shut down some of those channels so that you can be productive and you can be focused. Like the reality is now is not the time to waste, right? It really isn't. So we need to do it and we need our teams to be innovative, right? To help see us through this, but we got to help them shut down some of those channels because it is sucking the energy.
And if you're not having conversations with your teams about energy management, I think we talk, I know, right? There's so many books and so many podcasts and so many things on time management.
Yes, totally different though.
Totally different. And energy management, like talking to them, like, what are you doing to renew? What are you doing to refresh? What are you doing to take a break? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that can be everything from having a little dance party in your living room to walking your dog to getting on a Zoom call with, you know, people that you love and just getting real.
And so making that actually part of your routine.
Absolutely. And making sure that people are, you know, that you're checking in on the energy management and even talking about that concept.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, what I said on the webcast the other day was meditation or movement, but not Netflix. And here's why. I love Netflix. I'm a binger. So this is not about my 3 hours a night that I may or may not watch before I go to bed. But here's the thing. When you watch Netflix, YouTube, TikTok, whatever, right? Whatever your kind of your escape is, you're still taking energy. It's yep. still sucking the bandwidth from you. Movement and meditation rejuvenate energy. So yes. whether that's 10 minutes of breathing or 10 minutes of walking a lap around your house, like whatever you need. Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind, right, is movement in particular, it actually increases our blood flow, which increases our oxygen to our body and our brain. So there's actual science behind why we should move. And
like absolutely.
I said, I've got a tiny little home, right? So I'm like doing laps around my dining room table, whatever it takes, but not.
We've been having dance parties.
Oh, I love. Oh.
Because, so, right? Like the joy of music and dancing and like being ridiculous. It's fantastic. So really think about that. And actually, there's a guy, I can't think of his name right now. He's been on Instagram doing club quarantine.
Oh, you sent it to me. Now I can't yep. remember what the name is. Yeah. So it's awesome.
And I don't even know if I'm saying it right. D-Nice or D-Nice is the guy. Ooh. Follow. He's had like 100,000 people. Michelle Obama's been on there.
Oh my God, I'm in.
Yeah, Beyonce's been on there. So follow him on Instagram and he's doing these club quarantine. So I know I'm dancing with Michelle Obama. Just saying.
I mean, just for that, I'm going to do it, right? Because I just want, I want her arms. So I'm going to, well, and you know, the thing that I've started to do is, you know, I like, I don't like, I do push-ups. I don't know if a like is the way I describe them, but I do 10 every time I close one task to get to the other. I give myself yep. 5 minutes to walk the dog, walk around the house, dance, do my push-ups, but I do it at regular intervals. It's every single time I'm closing down one task and going to another because, you know, the other thing too is, right, my brain is still like in the open loops of whatever I was just doing and I need to close them. But, and here, you know, I'll just kind of be personal about it for a second. I mean, we're on video, so you can see my Peloton in the back. And I have a girlfriend and I, we, on weekdays, not on weekends, we get up and we get on the same ride together at 5:15 in the morning every morning. And we're on a leaderboard together. And it has been amazing because it gives me a sense of connection, right? I've got this other person. And it has forced me to get up and move. It's the first thing that I yes. do. And that has made me more focused and productive through the day. So I don't care what you do out there, you know, to move, but I care that you do it. And I care that you do it not just in the morning, though I think it's a powerful way to start your day, but also through the day so that you can keep that, to your point, that energy management in control. Because you're right, we don't talk about it. We're always like, how do you manage your time? But yeah. actual, here's what we found in our research. Energy matters more than time. Because yes. what you need to do is be in the state of flow and the state of innovation. And if you do that, you'll get more done, higher quality done in shorter amounts of time. Don't we all want that?
Yeah. I mean, that's when you can bring the brilliance.
Right. Exactly. Which is what we need. All right. What do you say we close out this one? And
ooh, so good. And thank you. Thank you for everything that you shared, because this, we really are, to overuse the phrase that's so appropriate, this is an unprecedented time.
Yeah, it is.
And the opportunity in this for us to innovate is enormous.
It's enormous. And I think exciting, right? Like I know that a lot of not great stressful stuff is happening right now. It's happening to me too. But I also know that if I figure this out now, I am primed moving forward. And I know that other people are in the same position, right? To your point about the app, right? The restaurant app, like it's about seeing the world a little bit differently and figuring out how you're relevant and add value.
Awesome. Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.